May it please the Court.
Certainly.
This case is about Missouri American Water Company's petition to change its ISRIS rate for customers in St. Louis County. An infrastructure system replacement surcharge, also called an ISRIS, is a line item appearing on a customer's bill that permits increases outside the general rate case. Public counsel challenges the commission's order granting a change and raises 2 points on appeal. The first is that the order is unlawful because the PSC had no jurisdiction to consider or approve an ISRIS rate change because Missouri American does not provide service in a charter county with more than 1 million inhabitants. This issue is jurisdictional and cannot be waived. The PSC is a creature of statute. If a power is not granted by statute, the commission does not have that power. Case law tells us that an agency lacks statutory power to consider a matter. If an agency lacks statutory power to consider a matter, it is without subject matter jurisdiction. Further, agencies' subject matter jurisdiction cannot be extended or conferred by the agreement or consent of the parties. And certainly it can't be extended by waiver. As it relates to this case, the ISRIS statute contains three prerequisites to the commission's authority to consider an ISRIS application. The applicant must be providing water service in a county with a charter form of government and with more than 1 million inhabitants. The population in this case of St. Louis County is at issue. And because the ISRIS statute itself does not provide how to determine population, the general population statute controls. That statute is 1.100.1, which provides that the population of political subdivisions is to be determined on the basis of the last previous decennial census. And the last previous decennial census that's currently in effect is the 2010 census. Courts have consistently explained that the census is the exclusive method for determining population, and further, they've explained that it's a judicially noticeable fact. Respondents, the commission, and the company dispute that the last previous decennial census should be used for the water ISRIS. Instead, preferring to utilize the stale 2000 census figures, which show that St. Louis County has a population of greater than 1 million people. Their interpretation is contrary to the plain language of the law and should be rejected. The plain language of the general population statute requires the use of the last previous decennial census, which became effective on July 1st, 2011. The plain language of section 1.100.2 does not ensure the use of the 2000 census figures for purposes of the water ISRIS. Instead, that language addresses gains and losses. The first sentence in 1.100.2 broadly addresses gains and says that political subdivisions may grow into a population category, though not meeting the requirement at the time the law is passed.
A key point of disagreement between the parties is the meaning of the last phrase of that section, which is, as well as those in that category at the time the law is passed. And your argument is it means when the legislature acted, and their point is that they believe it means if you're included at the time the law is passed, you can't go out. Can you? And I know you don't agree with that. Can you address that disagreement?
Yes, Your Honor.
So the
respondent
counsel
suggests that the phrase "as well as in the category at the time the law passed" means that St. Louis County will forever be deemed to have a population of 1 million people for purposes of the ISRIS statute. Nothing in the plain language of the general population statute supports that interpretation. The phrase merely ensures that the general statute governing population continues to apply to political subdivisions meeting the population requirement at the time a particular law is passed. But it says nothing about that population characterization is not subject to later update based on the next previous decennial census. The population requirement contained in the ISRIS statute must be presumed to have some meaning. If it didn't have a meaning, why would the legislature have put in this 1 million population requirement? And so if a political subdivision does not meet that population requirement, they are not privy to the privileges or obligations under that statute.
And of course, it's for the legislature to weigh these things, but opposing counsel says a reason might be the legislature wouldn't want counties to go in and out of the effectiveness and jurisdiction and authority of particular statutes, depending on if their population varied a few hundred people or a few thousand people at each decennial census. So they wouldn't want St. Louis to be subject to it, then not subject to it, then 5,000 people move in and next they're subject to it. So once you're in, you're in. Whether that is accurate or not, there are public policy reasons on both sides that would be for the legislature to weigh, wouldn't they?
Well, first we have to look at the plain language of the statute. It says 1 million people. It doesn't say about 1 million people, give or take. It says 1 million very clearly.
Do you concede that St. Louis County had 1 million people at the time the law was passed?
Yes. At the time the law was passed in 2003, the controlling last previous decennial census was the 2000 census. And that census showed that St. Louis County had a population of more than 1 million inhabitants.
And so if we read 1.100.2 and take out the language that doesn't apply, it says any law which is limited in its operation to counties, cities, or other political subdivision having a specified population shall be deemed to include those in that category at the time the law passed. Isn't that what it says?
I believe you read that correctly. I don't have it in front of me, yes.
And that isn't plain and ordinary language that says once you're in, you stay in?
No, I would disagree that says once you're in, you stay in. I believe that the meaning of that phrase is that when you are in at the time the law passes, which must be before sometime in the end of May, that before that law comes effective, if there's a census change, which occurs on July 1st of every 10th year after 1961, that for when that law first becomes effective, those in that category, when the law is passed, remain in that category. But it doesn't say anything that they'll never be subject to update.
Can you address and tell me if any of this is for your... Do you have a second person argument, I think? Or are you dividing your time? Or
no,
is that not?
Okay,
got it mixed up. I believe opposing counsel cites a number of cases where they say the legislature has amended various statutes that apply to only a single or small number of municipalities that no longer fall into the population range, so their acts would be pointless because they're amending statutes that have no subject. That have nobody to whom they apply. If we read your interpretation that you can move out of a category once your population changes.
Yes, Your Honor. First, I'd point out that those statutes aren't being challenged by public counsel in this case. And second, because they have a population range, I think we have to presume that the legislature, when enacting that range, had a reason for that particular range. And simply because a category doesn't fall into that at a particular time doesn't mean that there's no meaning to it. It means that they're providing for the future that if somebody does meet that population requirement, that they will be subject to the obligations or privileges under that statute. So by doing so, they're actually enacting legislation that's generally applicable rather than legislation that is specific to only one particular category.
You're trying to avoid saying special legislation, I know.
So the second sentence in section 1.100.2 I guess informs the plain language interpretation that it does not mean once in, always in. And that sentence narrowly addresses population loss, saving only a city not within a county from falling out of a population category based on the results of a new sentence. Now, the only city not within a county in Missouri is the city of St. Louis. The plain language meaning of the general population statute is confirmed by the application of certain canons of statutory interpretation. First, the express mention of one thing implies the exclusion of the other. Only the city of St. Louis is protected from falling out of population-based categories upon a new census, meaning that all other political subdivisions, including the St. Louis County, are subject to having their population updated based on the last previous decennial census. Second, amendments to language are presumed to have effect. In 1971 is when the legislature enacted the amendment to 1.100.2 that would address the city of St. Louis and prevent them from falling out of population-based statutes on update of the census. And the legislative history behind that 1971 amendment confirms public counsel's position. The legislature in that year rejected a broad once-in, always-in rule in favor of the more narrow exception for the city of St. Louis.
Opposing counsel says that new section would still have meaning if the city of St. Louis did not fall in the category at the time the law was passed, but later fell in it and then fell out, and they would not they would not get the once-in, always-in that they claim is in that first paragraph if they were not in the category at the time of law was passed, later came into that category, but then fell out of it. And the purpose for the second sentence was to make sure St. Louis never fell out of it.
That interpretation itself is problematic because it creates two categories: those within a population category at the time the law is passed that are in it forever, and those that are in a that may come in and fall out of a population category based on the update of the census. And that is particularly inequitable when we look at statutes that have very small population bands. And it starts to look like a law that's not generally applicable. Public counsel raises a second point on appeal, that the rate, if they did have jurisdiction to set it, was set at a level which exceeds the statutory cap. This cap is that the rate must not produce revenues in excess of 10% of the revenue requirement established in the company's last rate case. 10% of Missouri American's revenue requirement in the last rate case was approximately $25.8 million. The rate approved in the underlying case would produce annual revenues of approximately $27.5 million. And so it is contrary to the plain language of the statutory protections.
Your time is up. So
thank
we'll
you,
hear
ma'am.
From you on rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Jennifer Heinz on behalf of the Public Service Commission of Missouri. And I'd like to kind of pick up on the point that Mr. Opens made first. This statute does set out several criteria for the application of an ISRIS, but that doesn't go to the commission's jurisdiction in the case. It's a question of statutory authority. In other words, the population requirement operates on the county and the water utility, but the commission has the authority to entertain these petitions. So if Missouri American had come in and public counsel had raised this issue at the evidentiary hearing and the commission agreed with public counsel's reading of the statute, what would have happened then is that the commission wouldn't have dismissed for lack of jurisdiction. They would have denied the petition because the statutory criteria were not met. That's not a jurisdictional issue. But in any case, in this appeal, the commission does not agree with the reading of the statute that is offered by public counsel. We are asking that the court give effect to the phrase, as well as those in the category at the time the law passed, to mean what those words plainly mean. There's no argument that at the time the law passed, St. Louis County did not have more than 1 million inhabitants. And to read the statute the way that public counsel is suggesting suggests that the legislature would create complicated schemes, not just the ISRIS, but the taxicab commission and the tax increment financing laws and all kinds of other statutory frameworks that apply only to St. Louis County, and would be okay with the fact that they could create a taxicab commission in 2001 and it would exist. It would go out of existence in 2011 because of the census, and maybe would come back into existence in 2021 when we get a new census. And I would argue that the legislature did not intend such a strange and absurd result, and the court should not read the statute that way. And there is substantial justification for this ISRIS law, right? We've got very old infrastructure in St. Louis County. We've got that infrastructure serving a lot of people, and what an ISRIS does is allow that infrastructure replacement that is really needed in that county to occur faster than it would in the absence of the ISRIS scheme. So there is a substantial justification for this statute, and it does affect only St. Louis County, and I would argue that that was done on purpose. These are complicated things. The ISRIS planning horizon is meant to last over several years, which is another reason not to think that the legislature meant, oh, well, you can fall in and out depending on what the census figures are in any given year. These projections go out many years, and a large utility like Missouri American has the sophistication on a technical level to make these plans, to carry them out, and to make these infrastructure replacements. Our smaller utilities really are not sophisticated enough to handle these complicated ISRIS frameworks. And also the large number of people, right, that ISRIS rate that had that increase that happens between rate cases is smaller because it's spread over a larger population. The ISRIS statute requires at least $1 million in investment, and our smaller utilities just don't meet that threshold.
So there are good reasons. Then discuss the impact of the second sentence. Is that superfluous?
The second sentence relating to St. Louis City?
Yes.
You know, it's hard to say. I don't know exactly what the legislature was thinking in 1971, but my guess would be that the city was experiencing a lot of population loss at that time. And it's not always been clear, and I think Mr. Switzer may talk about this when he speaks here in a few minutes. At the time, in 1971, I don't know that there was any case holding that the city was a county or other, or city... county or other political subdivision that would be within the statute as it currently existed before the amendment. So to me, that sentence reads kind of like a just-in-case. We want to make sure that St. Louis City doesn't fall out of these laws if that the earlier part of the statute, the earlier version of the statute, may not apply to a city not located in the county. We want to make sure that it does.
Well, why does the mention of one not result in the exclusion of all the others?
Well, I think that goes back to, Your Honor, would the legislature really intend to pass laws that cities and counties might float in and out of just every 10 years based on the statute? And I think that...
What would be the reason to put in that sort of population number if that wasn't their intent?
Well, again, for the... specifically with regard to the ISRIS statute, again, it is important, I think, for a couple of reasons. You want to have a large utility rather than a small utility that's using this ISRIS. You spread that rate increase out over a larger population. The need is very great in St. Louis County. Some of this infrastructure is more than 100 years old. So I think but the need that the legislature identified with regard to the ISRIS was we've got all of this water infrastructure. It's very old. It's failing. We had a failure last week in University City. We need to figure out a way to speed up that replacement.
So is there any entity other than St. Louis County that can take advantage of those statutes, the ISRIS procedure?
Not at this time, no.
So no one would if we were to hold that it didn't apply to St. Louis County?
That's correct. Then no one would have an ISRIS. That's correct.
Would Mr. Switzer address the issue of whether or not the military population and others should be allocated around the state?
That is not an issue that the commission made a determination on. Again, this wasn't raised at the evidentiary phase. It didn't come up until the application for rehearing. So I don't have for you a commission holding or finding on that. Mr. Switzer, I think, can speak to it. And I just have just about a minute left, and I want to talk briefly about what actually happened here. The commission, as is permitted by the ISRIS statutes, took into account Missouri Americans under recovery, and took that into account going forward when it allowed this ISRIS adjustment, which again, it was a 0.7% increase in the already allowed ISRIS charge. So It was not a big increase. And the statute, I think it's 393.1006.52, specifically allows the commission to take into account over or under recovery. That's all that happened here.
It does limit it to 10%, and very complex arguments on both sides. Is the thrust of your argument that, well, yes, for ongoing it could only be 10%, but they were 0.7% under recovered from the prior ISRA, and you're permitted to make that up and add it to the 10%?
Right. You are permitted to earn up to 10% of your revenue requirement.
But this is over the 10%, opposing counsel says, but you're saying it's still okay because...
No, it would not. This would not allow the company to earn over its 10% cap because...
But you're saying it lets you charge a greater than that but then stop when you hit 10%? Is that sort of what...
Allowing you to increase... It's allowing Missouri American to continue to aim for that 10% cap. So to the extent that they had under-recovered by was $1.6 or $1.9 million, public counsel would say, oh, well, you didn't get that money, too bad. The commission said, no, you still should have the opportunity to earn that money, and we'll include it in the ISRIS adjustment going forward. But they didn't earn above the cap, and they have had a rate case. So that's another thing for the court to keep in mind. All of the assets, and there's been no argument from public counsel that any of these projects, any of these infrastructure replacements, are not otherwise eligible, right? They were ISRIS eligible at the time. They are now in the company's rate base, and they are part of the company's general rate. So this ISRIS that's being challenged today is actually not being collected anymore, and I'm way over time, and I want to give Mr. Switzer his time, unless the court has more questions for me.
That's fine.
Thank you.
May it please the court, let me go to the question of whether the 1971 amendment is superfluous. It is
Mr.
not.
Switzer, before you go to that very interesting issue, do you want to address whether or not the issue, the case is moot in light of
If it's moot, we think the court should address it. The whole state is watching this case. That's why there's four amicus briefs from labor, from management, from government. There's a Uber case pending in St. Louis County right now where the challenge by Uber is that it can do whatever it wants. There is no St. Louis Taxi Cab Commission. The St. Louis County Circuit Judge in that case has stayed the case waiting for this case. We are unable to raise capital given the uncertainty to provide the infrastructure replacement. We have been doing it at a rate of hundreds of millions of dollars in the past
decade. And you're
saying
this may evade review in the future because you hold a rate hearing at least every 3 years, so it could become moot on appeal in the future?
Perhaps it would evade addressing in the future. This is an important case. The ISRIS serves primarily the inner ring part of the inner ring municipalities of St. Louis County that have the old pipe, like University City, Ferguson, Florissant. That's where the old pipe is. It's not in Chesterfield and Wildwood. And it's important to that we get be in a position to provide, to get the capital so that we can go back to replacing the pipe for those people who and equalize things a bit compared to the others in St. Louis County. On the question of whether the 1971 amendment is superfluous, it is or violates the expressio unius doctrine. It does not, but remember, those are really only presumptions, and the overwhelming evidence is presumptions to the contrary. But it's not superfluous because it did give an extra benefit to the city of St. Louis where it could go in later and not just apply at the time the law passed. It also only uses the phrase to protect, it only protects the city of St. Louis from a loss of population, not a gain that might put it into a category. And that probably explains why, or could explain why, the amendment only covered the city of St. Louis. That amendment doesn't have to necessarily radically change the law. The court recognizes that a law is not superfluous or not redundant if it provides clarification, and there are several cases cited in the Missouri Chamber's brief addressing that issue. So clarification would be enough reason. And I actually discovered another issue out there when I was talking to a state representative from 1971 a couple of weeks ago who said, we were concerned that the city of St. Louis was neither a city nor a county or a political subdivision. I'm not asking you to make that part of the record or take judicial notice of that, but it explains why it's so hard to try to put yourself back to 1971 on an issue like that. Because it wasn't until 1992 in Guy versus St. Louis, 829 Southwest 2nd 66, that the Court of Appeals Eastern District declared that the city of St. Louis is a political subdivision. And 9 years ago, this court said in Jackson County Complex Authority versus Missouri, 226 Southwest 3rd, 156, that there were at least 15 statutes defining political subdivision in different ways. If you put yourself in the position of the city councilor or the mayor in 1991, and the city councilor said, I'm 95% sure that we're covered, I think we're a political subdivision or a city or a county or something, what would you do if you were the city councilor or the mayor? I think you would have called your lobbyist or your contacts, or the speaker of the house was from St. Louis. He was one of the sponsors. The other sponsor was the majority leader, who was from St. Louis as well. They put forth a bill that would have covered all political subdivisions against a loss, not a change, which is what the original statute said from 1959. And if I were a state representative in a community outside of St. Louis that was growing in population, I might have been concerned about that language, and I think I would have said, cut me out. If you guys want something to cover yourself, fine, put it in there. And we did, in fact, see the amendment. And I think when the court is trying to depart from what seems to be the plain language based on an amendment, based on an expressio unis doctrine or a presumption against redundancies, it really needs to be careful about that. Those are only presumptions because there are so many reasons why the legislature may act. You're all familiar with legislative process and people going down the halls and passing things and things going on in the waning hours of the legislature. The plain language that Justice Breckinridge quoted, I think, is controlling, and there's no reason to go to these disfavored doctrines like the expressio unius doctrine. Just Sith, you asked about the military group. I'm not suggesting that you say that you should count military or declare that you should count military, but what I am saying is that there's a problem with the process where we don't get to provide any evidence and we don't get to investigate issues, and all they do after the hearing is concluded, say you must take judicial notice of the 2010 census and no other evidence can be considered.
You're saying those are the kinds of things, if the court was to decide the population was the key thing at that time, we should remand for a hearing because there's lots of things that might be relevant to that determination.
I don't think you need to do that, but I think if you were inclined, and I hope you aren't, to agree with the public counsel, I don't think you could say it's good enough when only one side got to produce evidence. We should be able to produce the legislators at the time, we should be able to produce evidence from the Census Bureau on perhaps they have a method of counting military, which is easy. And if you'll give me 30 more seconds, I'll just say that the key point on the cap issue is that it really comes down to, is it the amount authorized or the amount of revenue produced? And when you look at the statute says on an annualized basis it must produce ISRIS revenues. It doesn't say authorized. The Public Service Commission carefully set up a system so that we would not go above the amount. The ISRIS will only produce the amount that is authorized by the statute, and the fact that there was previously an authorized amount that was higher, cumulative would be higher, was fixed by the Public Service Commission in its order. Thank you.
If you cited any cases that are not in the brief, would you submit a letter to the court and copies to counsel?
Yes, we'll do that today or tomorrow.
Thank you.
First, to address the system that was set up as the point two that would not allow them to collect more than 10%. That in itself is not based on any statutory power granted to the Public Service Commission. If there would be no need for it if the commission had followed the law and not set rates at a level which, when applied to the billing determinants determined in the past rate case, would not produce revenues in excess of 10% of that 25.8 million approximately. Any suggestion that the ISRIS is necessary for Missouri American to provide safe and adequate service should fall flat. The Public Service Commission, this court has held at least since 1914, that the Public Service Commission has plenary power to coerce a company into safe and adequate service. Before the ISRIS in 2003, companies have been able to provide safe and adequate service. This is merely a bonus that reduces the regulatory lag for the company. There was mentioned that this is just a small amount over. Well, that small amount over is unlawful, and that money does not belong to the company, and it's not the commission's to give away. That money belongs to the people of St. Louis County. I think it's important to point out that public counsel did give the commission an opportunity to consider this population issue in our request for rehearing. The commission declined to do so, I think recognizing that there is no fact to consider. The exclusive method for determining population is that of the last previous decennial census. If they had found otherwise, that would be contrary to the law. And importantly, the legislature knows how to insulate a political subdivision from population changes when it so chooses. The legislator could have inserted a targeted once-in, always-in clause in the water ISRIS, but it did not. So too could the legislature have inserted similar language, meaning once-in, always-in, in section 1.100.2, but it did not. Instead, it chose only that the city of St. Louis is saved from falling out of a population category. Because St. Louis County does not have 1 million inhabitants, and because the commission set rates in excess of the statutory cap, the commission's report and order is unlawful. Public counsel asked the court to vacate the commission's order and instruct the commission to take the steps necessary to ensure the amounts unlawfully charged are returned to the customers. Thank you.
Thank you. Case will be submitted.